Morning. That was a good selection, John Bob. Thank you. Well, we are excited. As was already mentioned, the Strouds placing membership with us. I would bring your attention, if you are a new member or a person considering membership, some of the pamphlets that we have out at our Welcome Center out there. One of them is a pamphlet that tells you about us, about Churches of Christ, and about our congregation. There's another one that tells you what it means to be a member. So if you're interested in being a member or you are a new member, you can read that pamphlet. It'll tell you all about that. A third one we've just produced and has come out now. It's called Finding Your Place at North Street. So if you're wanting to know, how can I get plugged into the ministries around here, or how can I get plugged in to some relationship groups, that pamphlet should help you greatly. So I encourage you to pick that up after service this morning. As we start to reflect upon Ecclesiastes, and we're starting to wind down with Ecclesiastes now, one more week and we'll be done. I want to go, as we customarily do, to God, ask Him to bless the preaching and hearing of the Word. Let's pray. Father, once again, we have come to hear Your Word proclaimed, to soak it in so that it will permeate all of ourselves, and so it will go out with us into our lives this week. Father, as we reflect upon life, youth, and then old age, and how You're with us every step of the way, and how You will at one point call us home with You, we give thanks for the hope that we have. But as now we reflect upon the words in Ecclesiastes, ask Your blessing upon the preaching and hearing of Your Word. It's through Your Son we pray. Amen. All right, so where are our pilots? Everybody that's a pilot. You're a pilot, okay. Pilots understand the importance of geometry. They understand that it's important that you fly in a right trajectory, because if you do not, you might end up using your seat cushion as a flotation device. Just to give you an example of how important, how crucial it is to stay on course, if you fly 1 degree off course for 1 mile, you will be 92 feet off. Now, if you fly that for 60 miles, you will be 1 mile off. And if you start at the equator and fly all around the globe at that 1 degree off, at the end, you will be 500 miles off course. All tells us the importance of starting out right, which is exactly what Kohelet's trying to convey in this section that we've covered in 11 and 12 in Ecclesiastes. And he begins by lauding youth. Youth is great. Celebrate youth. Enjoy your youth. Run, jump, skip. Leap tall buildings with a single bound. Enjoy your youth. Somebody said youth, of course, has been wasted on the young. What they mean is that young people do not appreciate it. Of course, those who make those statements are usually old, right? When you're young, you sleep well. Some of us can remember those days. Oh, you sleep so well. You're not like some octogenarians have to give up in the middle of the night to go visit the little octogenarian's room several times. You sleep well. When you're young, you can exercise. And you can exercise without stretching. You can go out and run and jump and skip, and you don't hurt the next day. It's wonderful. And when you're young, you can look across the room from your bed and you can see the numbers on the digital clock, and you don't need glasses to do so, or surgery. When you're young, you have all of this energy to go all day long, and you don't need a nap. When you are young, your joints do not ache and hurt all of the time. Some years ago, when I was young, I was sitting in the doctor's office and happened to notice that most everyone around me had some gray hair. And I also noticed that they were all talking to one another. These people just hardly knew each other, but they were all talking to one another about the same thing, their aches and their pains. I chuckled about that when I went off to see the doctor, and now I find myself these many years later sitting around with friends of mine talking about my aches and pains. And so Kohelet says, enjoy your youth, but enjoy it within limits. So he says these words, you who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. You can enjoy flying all you want. Just make sure you stay off course or on course.
Because if you get off course, well, actually, you could enjoy flying off course, too. It's the landing you may not appreciate so much. So Kola says, enjoy your youth, but just know this, it's meaningless. Something American culture has not quite caught on to. If you find yourself in your 50s and out of a job, you might have a difficult time finding a job because corporations want someone younger. And so we spend a lot of time coloring our hair and hiring personal trainers so that we can look younger. According to Psychology Today magazine, $10.4 billion, billion with a B, $10.4 billion a year, about at least, is spent on cosmetic surgeries by Americans. $1.2 billion on liposuction and $800 million a year on hair transplants so we can help ourselves to look younger all the time. The greatest compliment somebody can give you is, oh, you look so young. But sooner or later, you are going to look so old. Because you will be so old, and after that, you will be so dead. What Colette is doing is pulling the curtain back on all of this. Hey, you can enjoy your youth all you want, but you need to know it's meaningless because it's not going to last. The gray hairs are going to come along with your AARP card, and slowly but surely, your body is going to be incapable of doing the things that it could do before. Youth is meaningless because it does not last. And so what Colette does is he pictures life as a house, which is not unusual in Scripture. Jesus does this. The wise man built his house on the rock, right? Foolish man built his house on the sand. Jesus is not talking about architecture. He's talking about life. He's talking about our lives, building your life on the rock or building your life on the sand. But here Colette talks about life as a house, but he goes on to describe how this house is falling apart. Before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Thanks, Debbie Downer. Now, yeah, these are not encouraging words, but Colette would say to us, but they are real words, because I have pulled the curtain back on this fallacy that youth is going to somehow last forever and you're always going to feel this good. You can be obsessed with your body and obsessed with your youth all you want. You need to know it's going to fall apart and fade away. So enjoy your youth, Colette says, but do so with the right orientation, right trajectory, going the right direction. So before he goes on to this soliloquy about aging and fading away and dying, he begins chapter 12, verse 1 this way. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before all these things happen, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember, while you're enjoying life and enjoying your youth, Remember who you are, that you are a creature, and God is the creator. And it's because we often get these things confused that we find ourselves disoriented and off course in life. We attempt to live autonomous lives. Autonomous lives are young, and they're vibrant. They're in control of themselves. Autonomous lives determine their own destiny. Autonomous lives set their own parameters. But the broken down house reminds us actually no one is autonomous. All of us eventually surrender to entropy. The paint peels on the house and dry rot sets in, and the knees creak and the memory fades, and each one of us returns to dust. And so Qohelet is calling the young, but all of us really, to stay on course. Remember that it only takes a slight adjustment, a slight getting off to really make a difference in your life. I remember a young girl, a teenage girl in our church in Redding, California, who in high school decided to begin experimenting with marijuana at some parties. And 10 years after that, then, she was couch surfing from couch to couch, sleeping with whatever man would supply her with the drugs that she needed and she wanted. Just that little off course at the beginning. But the off course doesn't always come in something like drug addiction. I don't know if you've seen the movie God Is Not Dead, the first one that came out. You have this college boy, he's off to college, and he takes this philosophy course, and the philosopher professor starts off by saying, now I want everybody in here to agree with me that God is dead, and we can just quit talking about God and move on. So he has them all sign a piece of paper, and they can move on to the grade. And he says, if you won't sign the paper, then you can debate me about it. So this boy says, I'm not going to sign the paper. So he begins this debate, and goes on and spends all this time in the library getting these books, looking all these things up. And his girlfriend, meanwhile, is very upset with him. She just wants him to sign the paper and be done with it. They have their lives to live. He needs to get a good grade in this class so he can go to law school and be very successful. And so she finally breaks up with him because he won't take this seriously. God, for her, is just a supplement to her life. Just a little off course. And so she won't stay with the boy. And it's not just the young that have this problem. Some of us have been on this journey, on this flight pattern for a while. But we've decided that we can navigate ourselves and we do not need God. And so Qohelet plays this part of the GPS. Recalculating. Remember, youth is meaningless. Remember, your house is going to fall apart. Remember, God is the creator and you are the creature. Which takes us back to a really basic challenge. We were created to be human, but often we're tempted to be something more than that or something less than that. The something less than that is to be an animal. And animals just live off of instinct, right? Like dogs in heat, they just can't help themselves. And humans very often act just like that, don't we? Off of instinct. So there's the temptation to be less than we were made, but there's also the other temptation to be, try to be at least, more than we were made to be. And one way is to see ourselves as autonomous selves, not dependent upon God. Satan told Adam and Eve, if you eat from this fruit, eat from this tree, you will be like God. Which is quite a temptation if you think about it. I don't have to depend on anyone else. I can be like God. And we're all sort of attracted to that, aren't we? When I was young, my father decided this was sort of coming after the hippie days, that I wasn't going to have hair like that. He wasn't going to have me do anything like that. So he made sure I had a nice buzzed haircut. Here I am in second grade. Gotta love that haircut, right? When I got into high school, or junior high at least, he decided I needed my hair slicked down like Fonzie or something. So all my other friends are wearing different hairstyles, and I didn't want any part of that. And so when I graduated from high school in June, and then in August went off to college, and got a haircut, and did not cut my hair again until I came home from college in May. And fortunately, I don't have a picture of that. Autonomous. I wanted to be autonomous from my father. Maybe a little rebellious too at the same time. But autonomous. Teenagers all go through this. They want to be autonomous. They want to not be dependent upon their parents. And some of us find ourselves willing to do anything and everything for other people, but we would never ask anyone to help us because we can take care of ourselves. Autonomous. And some husbands have their wives come to them and say, I think we have some problems here. We need to go see a counselor. And the husband says, no, we can take care of this ourselves. Autonomous. And before long, he finds out what it really means to be autonomous because she's gone. We sort of all want this autonomy. We want to be our own gods running our own show. There's just one difficulty with this. It's the death reminder that is in us. The aching back, the fading eyesight, the graying hair, all reminding us that death is coming. Death is hot on our heels. It's going to be here at any time. Ernest Becker, a psychologist, years ago wrote about this and talked about this. He said, we are all repulsed by this reminder of death that we have in us or that we see around us. And so we are repulsed by seeing corpses. We are repulsed by seeing deformities in people. We are repulsed by nursing homes and the smell of nursing homes because they all remind us that we too are going to die someday. We too are going to fall apart. And so we often do anything we can to avoid such things. We don't want to see the person in the coffin at the funeral. We don't want to see the deformities on people. We don't want to go to the nursing home and see the people there. And that's why Colette spends so much time speaking to the young. It's not always going to be this way. You're not always going to have all of this energy. You're not always going to feel this good because the death reminder is not so prominent in them yet. And so it is easy for them to imagine that they are autonomous. Many of the rest of us are trying that by trying to keep ourselves looking as young as possible with our surgeries and our cosmetics and all the things that we're doing. Autonomous, independent, self-reliant. And so Colette in this section says, remember your Creator. The one who made you, the one on whom you are actually dependent. Remember your Creator. And it sometimes takes more than just a mental note, doesn't it? Tomorrow we're celebrating this day, Memorial Day. And it's not simply a day for cookouts, but wreaths will be laid at cemeteries to remember. Remember those who have given their lives. The Jews would remember that God rescued them from Egypt and brought them out. And every year they would gather for a meal and eat the same kind of food that their forefathers ate all those centuries ago before them to remember. And we gather every Sunday morning and we take the bread and we take the cup. For what purpose? To remember. So sometimes making a mental note is not sufficient. Might there be things that you and I could do to help us to remember that we are dependent upon God, to help us to remember that we are not autonomous beings, to help us to remember God is the Creator, we are the creatures. Might there be some things that we could do? Well, I'd say you might not want to go as far as the English poet John Donne, who slept in a casket to remind him that death was coming. You probably don't want to do that at your home. But you may want to look at your life and really evaluate your own life. What are those things that I'm doing? What are those practices that I'm engaging in that are somehow helping me to imagine that I am this autonomous being living separate from God? You might consider some things that maybe you could do. Maybe you could donate some more money, either to church or to some charity, because you have found in your own life that actually you're becoming much more dependent on the money than you are on God. So if you gave some more of the money away, that might force you to be more dependent upon God. Or maybe in your attempt to try to push death away and push all those death reminders away and all the things you're doing, maybe you could stop doing some of those things so that the death reminders would be more present to remind you of your dependence upon God. And maybe you could learn to accept help from others. That you aren't this autonomous person that doesn't need anyone else, but in fact you do need other people, and especially you need God. Or maybe you will do nothing. Because you might say to yourself, I'm really not that far off course. Which may be true. I might just suggest you might get your seat cushion ready for the landing. Let's stand and sing.